Welcome, everyone. Today is Sunday, March 22nd. Where did March go? I can't believe it. And this is the Skin Wars BBS podcast of the week. So if you are having strange things going on with your skin, itching, biting, lesions, and you don't know what to do, and the medical profession is at a loss to help you, you've come to the right place. We are here with Richard Kuhns and his book, and I don't know if there are guests today. I'm sorry, but he has a wonderful guests and co-hosts that come on with different topics. So you're in for a treat. Richard has written 13 editions of his amazing book, How to Get Your Life Back from Morgellons, Lyme, and Other Skin Parasites. And it's for me, it's been an encyclopedia of what to do for all the different parts of aspects of your life to get your life back. It's amazing. It's incredibly detailed. And then we have, a plethora of free coaches to help you get through it. So I'm so grateful for this community. And at this time, I'm here to welcome Richard Kuhns, author and leading expert on how to get your life back from Morgellons, Lyme, and skin parasites.
Thank you, Robin. How are you today?
Pretty good, thanks. Better than
Good.
last week.
Better than last week. That's good. Better and better every day.
Yes.
My other co-host, Carrie, from Morgellons Uncensored, unfortunately, is not feeling well today, and she isn't with us. So we're going to go to a deep dive and take questions and answers in a little bit, because this is a podcast, and there may be people who are not in my program attending the call. We want to start out with defining what Morgellons is. But even before that, we want to go over the federal regulations to make sure that we're in compliance with them. The FDA requires me to inform you that nothing that is discussed or my book or anything has been evaluated by the FDA. They require me to inform you that before you start the diet or accept any of my recommendations, that you are to thoroughly discuss them with your medical doctor to make sure they do not interfere with any health problems you're presently experiencing. The AMA requires me to inform you that none of us are trained, licensed physicians. And by federal law, the only professionals allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, mitigate, or prevent disease are licensed physicians. Therefore, we do not do any of that. We do not diagnose you, treat you, cure you, or anything, prevent disease. What we're allowed to do by law is to educate, and that's really the only important thing that's required, really. I mean, if doctors knew how to educate you, you wouldn't be here. But they don't. All right. They don't know how to educate you, how to deal with Morgellons, much less even identify if you are dealing with Morgellons. There is a book by Dr. Satterlee that you can get on Amazon. The name is Morgellons, The Legitimization of a Disease. I mention it mainly because she has the reigning diagnosis of what Morgellons is, the definition of what it is, which I have no problem accepting. I agree fully with her. And that is, if you have filaments and fibers growing from your skin that are not normal, it could be growing from lesions or growing directly from your skin, That is Morgellons. All right? That's all that's required to identify if you have Morgellons. Now, these filaments and fibers can vary in size. They can be very large and to be colored. They can be, some are said to be fluorescent. Some people actually claim that they move. And there's another guy who has his own Facebook group says, if you claim they move, you're psychotic. Well, I've had too many people tell me that they do move, and I do not ever invalidate somebody. So now the filaments and fibers can be very tiny to the point where you only find them like lint-like substance in your bedding and clothing without any reasonable explanation. Like you weren't wearing cashmere or wool, for instance, that would leave fuzz-like balls like that. That's the definition of Morgellons. Now, if you're still not sure, and if you have my products, Nature's Gift, whether it be bar soap or liquid soap or whatever, you can, or even the creams or lotions, you can apply them to your skin and rub them into your skin, and guess what? These filaments and fibers will start emerging if they are there. All right. Now, that is the definition of Morgellons. But then you say, well, what about this incredible itching that I feel? It's like itching underneath my skin. Like I'm sleeping on shards of glass. Well, first of all, let me say Morgellons exist in differing degrees. Not everybody suffers to the same degree or magnitude. In the extreme, it's like 24/7 itching under the skin or on top of the skin. I don't know. It drives you nuts. It itches in your private parts. It itches in your neck. It itches in your head. You know, some people all over, some people just certain areas, and it's 24/7. Well, that could be Morgellons, and it could also be Columbula. And it might be mites as well, you know. See, there are several organisms, skin parasites. The word Morgellons is the coin phrase that everybody picks up on and researches. There are many people who research mites, and they deal with mites but don't get anywhere because they're also dealing with Morgellons. So it helps to know that there is a hodgepodge of things that can be going on at the same time. So with this intense itching, it could be Morgellons, and it could be Columbula, and maybe some mites, and maybe a little bit of skin fungus, all right? And again, as I say, it could be to differing degrees. Sometimes we have couples. The wife suffers dramatically with it, and the husband, what's wrong with you? Well, the wife tells me he's got it too, but he just doesn't want to deal with it. And I see the abrasions of the skin pimples and things like that, or the little rashes, but he ignores them. Well, like I said, people experience it to differing degrees. So one person might have it to a minor degree, and it's only a minor problem, and he makes his spouse to be crazy. You know, she's a nutcase. You know, this is just something that you deal with. It's a dry skin, you know. All right. So you treat it accordingly. How about lesions? Yes, lesions. People with Morgellons often have non-healing lesions with the filaments growing out of them. But how about Columbula? You know, that spring tails in common language. You may have heard of it. It's a invisible biting syndrome. You may have heard of that. Snow fleas. What does that? Well, in the snow, sometimes people see these black things on the snow that they are Columbella springtails, but there are 6,000 species. They're not the ones that are going to be a problem, the black ones, okay? It's the ones that you barely can see on your skin that are a problem. Of those, about 19 out of 6,000 species are a problem to human beings. So we have ulcerations that could be Columbella, could be Morgellons. Now things emerging from their skin. Well, it depends on what it is that's coming out. If it's this gooey stuff that you see coming out of your skin, or in my book, for instance, there are several pictures here I'll show you, this kind of stuff. Strange filaments coming out of your skin, absolutely Morgellons. If it's things like spiders, like one lady reported a spider coming out of her skin with 16 legs, definitely Morgellons. Cocoon-like things, definitely Morgellons. But if it's mites coming out of your skin and they fly away, well, that's probably maybe a midge and maybe not Morgellons. But again, sometimes these are interwoven and you're dealing with both. So we have lesions, we have things coming out of our skin, we have intense itching, and there are several other symptoms listed in the book, but they are the main ones that characterize whether you have Morgellons or Columbella or mites or skin fungus. Now, there is one other one, a biting sensation that feels like it goes into the bone, you know, a drill. That could be, now, here's the difference. If that biting sensation starts and stays where it is, does it move? Definitely Columbella. Not Morgellons, Columbella. If it starts here, and a few minutes later, you feel it over here, that's skin fungus. So that's a differentiation that could be important. Now, with skin fungus, there's often a reddening of the skin, some rashes as well, and a burning. Burning of the skin. Well, this isn't typical with Morgellons. It's more associated only with skin fungus. You can go to YouTube and look up pictures of skin fungus, and I mean, they're terrible in advanced stages. So they are the different skin parasites which I am very familiar with and help people get their lives back almost every day. Now, so we're allowed to educate you. I just educated you as to the various symptomatology to expect and how to differentiate for yourself what you're dealing with and one or the other. As far as diagnoses go, there are no diagnoses for Morgellons or Columbella. In fact, if you go to the doctor and take skin scrapings or samples that you've looked at in your microscope and want him to look at it and use the word Morgellons, what's going to happen, Robin? What is your diagnosis going to be?
Parasitic psychosis.
Yeah. Delusions of parasites is probably what you're going to get. The best that you'll get is that you get something, but I don't know what to do with it or how to deal with it. That is the best result. If you get a doctor trying to guess around with this and that, you know, they'll try some sulfa drugs, they'll try some cortisone shots, they'll do, well, you're playing a game with him. And you're not going to get anywhere. But, yeah, you're making him feel like he's doing something, perhaps. the best response you could ever get, of course, is, you know, go to Amazon and get that book by Richard Kuhns, How to Get Your Life Back from Morgellons and Other Skin Parasites. But you're never going to get that advice. Although a few of the naturopaths have, over the years, forwarded people to me, which is good news. So that's what you're going to get from the MDs. What have they done over the last, well, Morgellons was the word coined in 2002. Historically, it's been suspected to go back into the 1600s. Why is it so predominant, prevalent now? Is it just because we have the internet? We can get into a whole bunch of things there. We're not going to do that in this podcast. We can get into chemtrails. We can get into glyphosate. We can get into GMOs. We can get into 5G and a few other environmental factors that we're exposed to, pesticides and things of that nature. We're not going to get into that because it doesn't matter where it came from or what it came from. What matters is what we do about it, and that's what I'm about. What to do about it. So I can educate you how to eat. Now, typically doctors will tell you, and in fact, people even maybe specializing in Morgellons or presumably specializing in Morgellons.
You're sounding like you're underwater all of a sudden.
All of a sudden underwater. How am I doing now? Same thing?
Still.
No, I'm good.
No.
I'm still bad, huh? I haven't changed anything.
That's weird.
It is weird.
I don't know.
How's that?
That's good.
That's good. Well, then we'll get rid of the microphone. All right. Okay, so where was I?
I don't know. I got distracted.
About eating. You can go, and any expert will tell you, no matter whether they're an expert in diabetes or heart disease or whatever their expert is, they'll tell you to eat healthy. But they won't tell you exactly what that is, other than, well, get rid of junk food and get rid of wheat and things like that, and eat whole grain, eat fruits and veggies. Fruits? Oh, boy. We got a problem, because when it comes to skin parasites, the only fruit is lime and lemon and maybe grapefruit, for starters. This is a very special diet. Like even carrots are not on this diet. Peas are not on this diet. Asparagus is not on. You crazy, Richard? These are good foods. Olive oil is not on this diet. Richard, you lost your mind. How can that be? Everybody says olive oil is good for you. Well, the parasites love it. It's not a matter of what I say. It's a matter of what the parasites say. And remember, when you're reading articles, people often say, oh, I read that article and it said sunflower seeds are great anti-parasitic. So I went out and bought a bag of sunflower seeds. And you have to laugh my you know what off whenever I hear that. You know, there are two kinds of parasites. The intestinal parasites we talked about last week, worms, and little worms. That's good. You know, sunflower seeds are good. So is black walnut. So is oh, they're good. But these are skin parasites. They love these things. They love pumpkin seeds. They love black walnut. All right? So whenever you read an article, this is a great anti-parasitic. 99% of the time they're talking about worms. Now, we talked about symptoms earlier. Rashes on the skin. You know what that could be? That could be worms. Exactly. So we also educate you how to get them out of your body. And we did that with Nancy from Shop for Morgellons last week. She did an excellent job because they're cofactors. And if you have these other cofactors, they're just sucking up your resources, leaving you very little resources to deal with Morgellons. You get that? They're putting you in negative, and we want you in the positive. So as long as you're having these other cofactors, you have less resources to deal with Morgellons and get your life back. So we can educate you how to eat. I have probably 8 or 9 fantastic, wonderful coaches, as well as myself, are happy to work with you. They work with you for free. I have a small fee that I charge. Now, so we can educate you how to eat. We can educate you how to clean your environment. I love Facebook posts. They always start out with a picture of these filaments and fibers or this gooey stuff I showed you on the cover of my book. And people are really wonderful and coming up, well, I had that and I did this. You know, I just did this one thing and it all cleared up for me. What are they missing? Nothing. Ain't nothing. It ain't nothing going to clear up unless you deal with your environment. You've got to deal with your environment. Because no matter if you clear it up, as long as you go back in that infected bed, sit on that infected couch, sit in that infected car, sit in that infected office chair, or around that desk, you're going to be reinfected. You see, you are a walking, talking, breathing parasite machine. Whether it's Morgellons, whether it's Calendula, or skin fungus, these things either jump off of you or fly off of you in terms of like filaments and fibers just shedding, or migrate from you, like in terms of skin fungus, to your surroundings. And whenever you are back there, they migrate back onto you. They like you. You're food for them. They enjoy you. So all these great posts are fantastic, but they fail to mention how to clean your environment. Now, cleaning your environment can be very basic, and we've talked about that. The first time around for me, I simply used ammonia and sprayed around here and there and so forth and used that in my laundry, and everything worked out fine. Years later, when Robin joined our force, well, her dealings with parasites wasn't as easy as mine. I learned a lot from her. We stepped up our game. She introduced us to, I believe it was the triple pesticide, and then the zinc pesticide, and she introduced us to Garden Safe Fungicide 3. These are all very important tools that we use to deal with. So chapter 3 of this book is about 60 pages long about how to deal with your environment and clean it. Now, we can also educate you how to clean your skin. It's just not a matter of washing off, you know. You already know that. It's not a matter of getting in the tub and, getting in the shower and wetting yourself and switching yourself up with borax, across the borax. Yeah, it helps. But, I mean, you got to do all these things together. You just can't do one at a time. You got to get them out of your skin. If you're dealing with Morgellons, your skin is destroyed layers deep. Your hair as well is dead. So we have protocols to get them out of your skin. It's not a matter of just washing. It's not, I mean, even with our fantastic soaps, it's not a matter of just washing. It's a matter of knowing how to use them. So we can educate you how to eat, how to clean your environment, how to clean your skin, and we can also educate you how to build health and immune functioning through targeted supplements. Now, if you've been taking supplements, and most likely, yes?
When you get louder, your voice gets very muffled and vibratory.
When I get loud?
You're up just a little bit.
Oh, boy. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. People are texting me.
All right. So When it comes to supplements, we have to be careful of them too, because I can guarantee you whatever supplement you've been taking has ingredients in it that are a problem with the diet. So we have targeted supplements, and we also have sometimes have to look at your medications, because in addition to whatever medication is, they may have other ingredients in there that could be a problem with the diet. And so we'll put it all together. The diet being crucial, cleaning your skin, cleaning your environment, and building your health and immunity to whatever degree is affordable, you've got to get your life back. It's just like that. So let's take some questions, and I'll see if I have the answer. And if not, I'm sure one of my coaches here will. Anybody have a question? Do we have anybody lined up?
Yes, my question is about the Ziploc bags. Are those one-time use, like you use it, and then when you get the item, you throw that bag away?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Okay, so the Ziploc bags and the menthol crystals.
Oh, okay.
Are the Ziploc bags one-time use, and how much menthol crystal per item or items? I mean, you know, you got small items, you got great big items.
So the Ziploc bags are only to put clean things in.
Okay.
Right from the dryer to the bag or however you clean them. So no, they're not one-time use because you're only putting things that are clean in them. The menthol crystals don't go necessarily in the bags. They go in drawers or on shelves, and you get little gift. What are those gauzy things called, like for wedding?
Little sachet bags.
Yeah, sachet. There you go. And you fill it with menthol crystals. The menthol crystals eventually dissolve till there's nothing in the bag, and then you refill them. Does that answer?
How much menthol crystal per bag? About a teaspoon?
I do not measure. I fill the bag with menthol crystals.
Okay. Fill it up.
Yeah.
And I can put that, like if I've got some hanging clothes in a bag, I can put the menthol crystals in with the hanging clothes.
You could. You got to be careful. Menthol crystals over time can dissolve paper. They can create holes in things. I have learned this the hard way. So
okay.
I don't use them on clothes. I put them inside shoes, and I put them on shelves to keep the shelves clean. But you want to be careful with clothes and paper stuff. They can damage them over time, not in the short term.
Okay. So if I put menthol crystal sachet in with, say, a hanging bag, it doesn't need to be touching the clothes.
It shouldn't be touching the clothes.
Don't touch the clothes. Just have it in the bottom of the bag, maybe.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you. Who's next?
2269, Anne.
Oh, hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm not sure if I need to take that bundle that Nancy talked about last week. I mean, I've done Fenben. I did Knight and Pyram combined with Lufenuron, and now I'm doing Lufenuron separate with Knight and Pyram. I don't know. Remember she talked about the bundle?
Yeah,
it's Lufenuron.
Can I interrupt?
Sure.
I think the thing about the bundle is it's actually the timeline of when you do each thing matters. And so even if you've done them separately or done them kind of scattered and haphazardly, as I have, you want to follow her protocol and do it in the timeline that she has.
Okay.
So think of it as a restart.
As starting over?
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't know if I need to take it because there was something in there. I forget what was in there that I never took. and what it's...
She has a high success rate, and...
Well, see, the only problem is there's no way that you could get tested or diagnosed to determine. So there's a bit of guessing involved here. So it's not leaving anything to guess at. You know, it's just going after everything.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, one more question. You know, it's getting to be that time pretty soon where I go in and plant flowers in my garden and then vegetables, and I'm just wondering if I'm going to have a problem by doing that. Maybe if I just wear long sleeves and shower after, you know, because there's different ways that you get these problems.
I think you need to be more aggressive than just wearing long sleeves. I would suggest wearing a hazmat suit, or you could spray your clothes with 40% DEET. It stays on the clothes for like 6 washings. You want to wear long socks. You want to wear white whatever. You want to clean your sneakers with ammonia when you take them off. You want to wear gardening gloves. You want to cover your hair. And you want to wash your clothes instantly and take a shower after. But you also want to treat the outside. You could get fungicide 3 or...
Oh, yeah, I have that. Yeah, I have it.
And they have one version that attaches to a hose. So you can...
Right.
That's really important. And if you do those things, your chances of getting reinfested drop dramatically.
Okay, and what did you say, 40% DEET, D-E-E-T, or...
Yeah, there are insecticide sprays that are 40%, you want the 40% DEET, that's the strongest, and you don't spray your body, spray your clothes, and it's...
Oh, okay. Okay, DEET, I'm sorry, what?
D-E-E-T, 40%.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Now, in addition to what Robin suggested, I might say your first step might be to lime the area, spread lime, and then, you know, do the fungicide 3. I mean, it's overkill, but nothing is better than overkill.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so fungicide 3 and lime?
Do lime first.
Okay.
On the ground. Okay.
Do lime, then you do your rototilling, and then you do your fungicide 3.
Okay. All right. So lime around the gardens on the ground, and then fungicide 3.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Can I put it in the garden where I'm going to plant?
Of course. You put it in the garden where you're going to plant. You're going to rototill it. Plow it around or whatever to get the lime down into the soil. You can even wet it to make sure the lime gets in there. And then before you go plant, do the garden safe fungicide 3.
Okay, great. And is there a certain amount of time in between the two things that I should wait?
Really. Maybe a day.
Okay.
Now, whatever plants you're going to be planting, you want to do, maybe you spray them with fungicide 3 before you plant them. Maybe, you know, make sure you're not getting infected by plants that you're planting.
It sounds muffled. I was having a hard time understanding. I'm sorry.
I'm saying whatever plants you're going to plant, you might spray them with fungicide 3.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you. That was an important question for this time of year. Who's next?
Yeah.
Deborah, 8239. Deborah,
8239. Hi, Deborah.
You have to unmute yourself. You muted yourself.
Deborah, *6, please.
Hello, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Sorry, I was making a turkey out across the room while I listened to you. I do have one question. It has to do with the breakfast foods, and I think I emailed you about it, but does anybody have any recommendations of what kind of things you can eat for breakfast in the group? Because I don't want to eat eggs every day. It's hard, and bread is another thing. I'm making my own homemade bread from the recipes, but And bacon, you can only, never ate so much bacon in my life. Not that I'm eating it every day, but even twice a week is a lot. I eat it once a year, but now I've been eating it more regularly because I don't know what else
Sharon,
I
do you
can
have
eat.
any suggestions of breakfast foods?
We're talking stage one, because in stage two, I think you can eat a
Sharon,
pancake.
you're muted.
Sorry about that. I was just saying, for breakfast, Lynn makes a really good pancake. You can make that out of the spelt bread. You can make biscuits out of the spelt flour. I'm sorry, not bread, the spelt flour. So, I mean, the same things that you would normally eat for breakfast, think about those and then just substitute what you can have now. And that makes it, you're being just as creative before as now. You're not limited to what so much as to your protein. So you can still have the proteins that you would choose other than what other items did you eat for breakfast prior to this illness? Or what were
Prior
you
to the
eating?
diet, pancakes
Right.
and once in a while, occasionally French toast, omelets with cheese. I haven't eaten cheese now in about a month.
Yeah, you can make toast out of the Ezekiel bread when you're on stage two. What is the one with the cinnamon? You can also make the cinnamon toast.
In
Yeah,
stage
there's
two or one?
a lot of things that can bounce off of each
Cinnamon.
other, you know.
Cinnamon in stage two.
Well, if you're making the
Yes.
spelt bread,
Cinnamon in stage one.
right, in stage two, you can have cinnamon, then you can add cinnamon into your diet in stage two, right?
Cinnamon
Or
is
in
stage
stage.
one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you for your question. Who's next?
That's it for today.
Okay. Do we have anybody new from Morgellons Uncensored Facebook group? Anybody new? Introduce yourself, what you've been doing.
I have a question.
Okay.
Sorry. My name's Chrissy. Hi. I heard some noise in my freezer the other night. Like it sounded like something was like chiseling away at ice. Do you think that was something?
No, I've never heard of anything like that.
You have an
Yeah,
ice
okay, so
maker. It could be making noise.
that's obvious. I don't, but I'm just hoping, praying to God it was something else. But I remember some people having problems where they get into their refrigerators and freezers. What is the protocol for that? Just to make sure I cover my bases. Is
What is
that
the
put
question?
the
What is the question?
Well, since I, what would you put in my freezer? Would I put DE in my freezer just in case to kill anything in there?
You want to, Robin, you want to explain how to put in the traps?
I just use pure bleach, actually. Just tiny cups of bleach in the fridge and in the freezer.
Okay.
Keeps everything away.
Thanks. Also, what do you guys think about wearing a glucose biosensor to see where you're
A
eating?
glucose what?
Biosensor? I found one at Walmart called Lingo.
Don't know what that is.
It's
What?
$50.
Why do you
It's
want to use it for? What's the purpose?
says, oh, I'm so sorry. It says it tracks your blood levels to let where they're at. I didn't
Are
know
you
if that could help.
pre-diabetic?
No, I didn't know if that could help us with the diet if it, you could tell if something was, too much sugar or turned in. I don't know the science. I
No,
didn't
not
know if you thought.
no, not really, not really, no.
Okay. Real quick, I also eat that cereal, the puffed rice, brown puffed rice cereal. You have to find it in the bags, usually in the health food section. And there's only puffed rice cereal in there. If that helps anybody with
What's
breakfast.
in it? What's in the ingredients?
Just the brown puffed rice. The brand that I find, and I also find puffed millet right next to it, called Arrowhead Mills. Organic Arrowhead Mills.
Everyone's a little different. I could never eat millet, and I couldn't eat plain puffed rice either till stage two. But a lot of people can eat it in stage one. It just depends on you and your body.
Right.
I thought it's hard to make a comment. I can't eat that. I tried it in stage one and I had my whole body felt itchy, so I gave the cereal away right now.
So it depends. Some people can have it, some people can't. This is why it is important to keep a diary so that you can tell whether or not you can have it, or you have to wait until maybe you move into stage two.
There is a cream of rice cereal that has nothing in it that is really delicious and you can eat. I could eat on stage. I'm like the canary in the mine. If I can eat it, probably most people can.
What's the brand?
Oh, I can't remember the brand. He makes a lot of organic stuff. It's a.
I have a box right here. They have a gluten-free cream of rice by, I'm looking at the brand. I think it's Gerber, but I'm not 100% sure.
That has other ingredients in it.
Yeah, that has a lot of ingredients, right. I can't eat this either. So
yeah.
There is a brand of cream rice that is just rice?
Yes, and it's got a guy's name on it, and he makes a lot of other things.
Bob's Red Mill.
I'm out of it, so I can't tell. Huh?
It's Bob's Red Mill Organic.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Oh, Bob's good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks to Bob. All right.
I have a question.
Yes.
In reference to skin cyst. I notice I have some more that have arisen in my back area. I'm just wondering if that could be related to skin fungus, Morgellons, or Columbula, and if Nature's Gift, the brightening soap application, could help, you know, alleviate some of that and to lessen it.
Now, that is in your back. What's happening with your back?
Yeah, skin. I have a couple of skin cysts, cysts on my back, and this is a new...
Haven't you tried applying any of the product yet?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well,
are
Richard. I'm
bath
sorry.
Using the debriding soap in the bath?
I can't hear real well. I don't know why the connection here. Did you say, I'm sorry, Robin, I really can't.
You can't hear me either?
I can hear you briefly, not real well. Everything is muddled here.
Huh.
I don't know what's going on, but anyway, you can't hear me, huh?
I can hear you.
Yeah, did you say something about bath? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, what's recommended is that in the beginning you take 30 to 45 minute baths a day.
Yeah, I can't take a bath here. I only have a shower, and I have, you know, I've been dealing with my cofactors with chronic fatigue for many, many years. It's genetic mutation cofactors. So I'm doing my best, but I'm just wondering if, in your experience, if any other folks have experienced skin cyst, and if it could be related to, you know, Morgellons or Columbula or mites or any conversation on that.
We really don't know. You just have to experiment with the products and see how they work.
Yeah, the Nature's Gift debriding soap. Is there anything else I could apply on cysts, your products, the Nature's Gift? Or can I add neem, or what do you think on that? Any ideas? I'd appreciate it.
We don't know.
I have two things that work really well on that.
Okay.
One is an old-fashioned remedy that you can buy over the counter at any drugstore, and it draws things out of your skin. It's called Ichthyamol Cream.
How do you spell that, Robin? I appreciate it.
Let's try. I-C-H.
I-C-H.
I'm not sure. A-M-M-A-L.
A-M-M-A-L. And that's a cream?
It comes in a tube.
Okay. Okay.
I pulled splinters out of my kid's skin, so I didn't have to dig into them.
I really appreciate this, Robin. Anything else of your...
I use Manuka honey. Also,
but
a new product that rivals Manuka honey, skin product, and I forget what it is. Richard.
Oh, something even stronger and more medicinal than Manuka?
No, I said rivals. I haven't tried it. Richard, you have a new skin product out that heals skin lesions and bites. And
yeah, I have. It's not on the website, though. I've been trying to figure out, you know, there's a lot of things.
Golly Derm. It is on the website. It is on this website. Golly Derm.
I can't hear you, Richard.
I don't. I couldn't understand what you said either.
Golly.
No, this call is very muddled today. I'm sorry.
Could you back up a little more, Richard? Or turn your sound down a little? It's like you're talking right into the mic.
Golly Derm. Golly Derm.
Golly Derm?
Garly, G-A-R-L-I, Derm.
Garly Derm.
Yeah. It's on the website. I didn't see that. The what, cream?
Garly.
What is it? I can't hear.
It's a cream.
And it's called G-A-R-L-I. G-A-R-L-I, uh-huh.
I don't know what the rest is.
Derm, D-E-R-M.
D, like David?
Yes,
D-E, what? I'm sorry, D-E.
R-M.
Okay, Garly Derm is on the website. Because
yes.
I didn't see that. Okay. You sure? Because I've been looking.
Okay, please, let's move on.
You can always call Chris.
Okay, I can ask Chris. And it's a cream. It's like, is that,
yes,
like the, is that like the skin lotion with the Luvineron?
The other cream.
Like that?
There are other people who may want to ask questions. Call Chris.
Oh, okay, I can ask Chris. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate you all very, very much. Thanks, Robin, too. Appreciate
it. Anyone else, please?
Thank you.
Anyone else? Is everybody having trouble hearing
me? Yes, I've been trying to talk for a long time. It's Maris. May I?
Yeah.
Yes, please. You have a question? You have a question?
Well, first of all, two questions for Robin. And Robin, I can't text you anymore because I think you've blocked me because you didn't know that my number starts with 912 area code, but you've blocked me. I can't even, I can't text you.
Are you sure? Because I have blocked one person in my life, so.
Oh, really? It could have been an accident because every time I send you a text message, it says not sent.
Please ask the question.
So why don't you try calling me and then I can.
Okay, I'll call. It will be a 912 area. Okay, the quick, not 911, but 912. How about that? That me, and that'll be me. The question for Robin, because I've been missing you the last couple of weeks, is you taught me something about cleaning with neem and the clean 'em up enzymes and spraying and cleaning. I'm in a white walled apartment, and it's not. I don't own it. So I'm kind of thinking I can only do the brown cupboards and the brown linoleum floor with that. Is that, I mean, what can I do with the rest of everything? It's in terms of getting the neem in the environment.
Yeah, I mean, doing the floors is the most important part.
Okay,
and
all right.
If the walls are white, you could get like a disinfectant. Disinfectants also work.
Like what you were talking about before, germicide 3 or whatever?
No, fungicide
3.
It was yellow. It has neem in it. But Richard has a disinfectant.
Oh.
Richard, and there's one at Home Depot also, which I haven't used in a while, so I forget the name. But Richard, you
have MediClean in our store.
Right.
MediClean.
Yeah, I can't hear Richard either. It's loud, it's brash, it's garbled. It's really, really bad. When Richard puts his mic behind him, away from him, it doesn't have static or reverb.
What Richard just says is he has a disinfectant called MediClean in his store.
Oh, great. Thank you. Okay, MediClean. And then a question, again, it's about it. I think I've gotten all the recommendations I could get on how to rid of Columba. I can't say it today.
Your next question, please. Your next question.
Well, I am doing the next question, but I'm pronouncing Columbola. There we go. And that's not correct. Is there anything other than, I mean, with the red light therapy or the sunshine bulb? There's a sunshine bulb you get when you buy the Koo Spider. Brand, they give you one that's ozone for the house and one that's sunshine. I mean, I actually just want to sit in ozone with my back to get the damn things out of me.
You can't sit in ozone. It's poison.
I know you can't, but I'd like to.
Well, there are plenty of other things you can do.
Red light therapy?
Red light therapy will help, yes.
Okay.
20 minutes a day.
20 minutes a day. Okay. Fantastic.
One thing is an ultimate cure. You have to do
it. Yeah, because I'm doing the internal neem. I'm doing neem mixed with, this might be helpful for somebody as well. If you're feeling the columbola on the legs and other places, mix it in with the castor oil. That's freaking awesome. That because it sticks, it suffocates, and then it's got the neem already in there, and it's good for you, you know. So, and then the question for Richard is, I'm on page 203 in the back of your book, and there's all these frequencies under the heading of Rife Machine, which I don't have, but I have lots of different frequency machines, and they're ready to rock and roll. I'm wondering if there's a specific frequency for mites, which I've decreased the population, but moreover for Columbola, a frequency for Columbola.
I don't know. I'm not the expert. I just published that as I found it.
CQ machines have frequencies for everything, and the frequencies come built in. You download them, and then you can make your own combinations of frequencies.
And I just bought a Calminity, and I'm just not going to spend any more money in that direction. I also have Solex.
You need to call that company and ask them.
They don't want to get sued, but when I saw their ad on Facebook, it's the frequency is 782.
Well, I'm telling you that what I bought, the frequencies, I don't have to know the number. You type in what you're looking for, it comes up, and you load it.
Okay, I might have to buy a spooky tooth after all. Thank you, Robin. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate y'all.
Who's next? Anyone else? Anyone from Morgellons Uncensored? Some of this must really sound an hour space to you guys if you're here for Morgellons Uncensored. Anyone? Anyone else?
Guess not.
We got about another 7 minutes.
Any other questions, though, in general?
Or specific?
Well, something you want to talk about right now, Richard?
I'm not sure if I can.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
I spoke to you, but I can't remember, about cleaning my house. What is the spray that you told me to buy that had neem in it? I'm supposed to go to the garden center and buy it?
Fungicide three. A similar product that is an organic pesticide with 70% neem oil. It's a fungicide, miticide, and pesticide. There are many different brands.
Oil. Can I get it at Home Depot?
They have it garden department in the springtime, but yes. All garden stores have something like that in the spring, not so much in the winter.
Okay. You also had a formula of using the fungicide and some other, three other things. I just bought the other two things. I don't remember what they are, but I bought them. What is your formula to put into a spray bottle?
I mean, I combined it with Richard's, oh my God, my mind just went blank. What is your stuff that you say I shouldn't combine with neem oil?
Enzymes.
Yes, thank you. The enzymes.
I just bought the enzyme thing.
So it's a quarter cup of enzymes and an eighth of a cup of neem oil and water in a 16-ounce spray bottle. And I believe the reason it works is because neem oil is not a disinfectant the way others are, and it doesn't kill the live enzymes. At least that's
okay. So it's only these two things. the enzyme thing and the neem oil?
The enzymes, the clean them up enzymes that Richard has in his store.
Right, I just bought the clean them up, yes.
And then the fungicide,
the NG?
Is just one brand name. You're just looking for an organic gardening pesticide that is a miticide, pesticide, and what was the third one? I saw, and has 70% neem oil.
Okay.
Miticide, that's pesticide, it. And fungicide.
Goodbye.
Yeah, and you also said to use that NG. You said to use the NG also. I think it's the three things. NG.
I did not use
Nature's
it.
Nature's Gift.
You can create a spray bottle.
Oh, you did.
Nature's Gift. It's great.
I have the Nature's Gift.
Yeah, so you can use that.
Just take 1 ounce. 1 ounce.
Can I use that?
1 ounce of Nature's Gift
to a half gallon of water.
To a half gallon of water.
And that's it. That's all you need.
And that works fantastically also.
Okay, so I can just use the NG, 1/2, okay, 1 ounce to 1/2 gallon, and just spray it on my floor?
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, anyone else have a question? How can we help you? How are you doing? Anyone want to share some success? We have we have 3 minutes left. Anyone like to share your experience, your success? Well, Sharon, tell us how your group is going. You have a group every week. How's your group going?
Well, the group is going fine. We had only about 3 participants last week, but what I find, the lesser amount of people that join during our weekly chat, the more engaged we become with each other. So I don't worry about the numbers as much as just being there for those that want to speak to me. I know I have a few that are diehard. They're there, rain, sun, storm. So, but yeah, I think it's going very well. And I would like to mention, if there are any that would like to chat with us, it's nothing formal. It's just a group of people that are suffering with the same affliction that have things in common. They ask some questions of me, but majority of the time we're feeding each other, and we're feeding each other positiveness.
Make an appeal for more coaches. We need more coaches. So make an appeal. Why would one want to be a coach?
Why would anyone want to be a coach?
To pay it forward. If you've gotten your blessing, if you've gotten your life back from this horrible, horrible disease, it just should be in your heart to want to pay it forward. You know, it's so amazing to be able to eat and not have itching, biting, crawling, not worry about my teeth falling out for the fourth time. You know, it's when you get to this place where your life is really starting to pick back up to the same pace or a faster pace than before, you just want to pay that thing forward. It's like putting fire up under your feet when you get your life back. You want to pay it forward. It's just in you.
Amen. Robin, we've got 1 minute. Why don't you wrap it up?
Okay, well, I want to say that, you know, this, we get depressed, we get overwhelmed, we get discouraged, but when you do something for someone else, it changes, it gives your whole attitude a paradigm shift. And that's the one selfish reason for being a coach. When you help others, you get better.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up. Give us a Happy Trails song. Happy Trails.
Okay. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
I'll be giving out coach numbers later.
Darling, until then, happy trails to you. until we meet again.
Okay, that concludes this portion.